United States of America in all of history. Why? Because we started out obeying the Bible. The principles of God's word are always successful. Many of our leaders, regardless of their political affiliations, have endorsed the word of God as being the basis for our success as a nation. Our schools have stopped teaching the truth of God's word being part of the basis upon which our nation was founded. I want to take some time this morning to share with you what some of our leaders have said. Let me start with President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He said, "In the formative days of the Republic, the directing influence of the Bible exercised upon the fathers of the nation is conspicuously evident. This book continues to hold its unchallenged place as the most loved, most quoted, and most universally read and pondered of all the volumes which our libraries contain. We cannot read the history of our rise and development as a nation without reckoning with the place the Bible has occupied in shaping the advances of the Republic. I suggest a nationwide reading of the Holy Scriptures for the renewed and strengthening contact with these eternal truths and majestic principles which have inspired such measure of true greatness as this nation has achieved." President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave that in an address on Thanksgiving Day, 1944. The next statement would be by President Harry Truman. And he said, "The fundamental basis of our nation's law was given to Moses on the Mount. The fundamental basis of our Bill of Rights comes from the teachings which we get from Exodus and St. Matthew, from Isaiah and St. Paul. I don't think we emphasize that enough these days." He said that during his address before the Attorney General's Conference. I believe that you will be familiar with most of the men that I'm going to quote, but there will also be a few shrouded in the dark portions of history. The next quotation is, "America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture." And that was said by President Woodrow Wilson in his address on the Bible in Denver, Colorado, May 7th, 1911. What I hope you're starting to see is that the Bible has had a major part in the development and success of this country. The Bible is the rock on which our republic rests. That statement was made by President Andrew Jackson. The Bible is the best gift God has given to men. All the good the Savior gave to the world was communicated through this book, but for it we could not know right from wrong. President Abraham Lincoln, attributed to Andrew Jackson by Ronald Reagan in his Proclamation 1518. The next quotation is from President Teddy Roosevelt. "The teachings of the Bible are so interwoven and entwined with our whole civic and social life that it would be literally, I do not mean figuratively, I mean literally impossible for us to figure to ourselves what that life would be if these teachings were removed. we would lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals. All the standards toward which we, with more or less resolution, strive to raise ourselves. Almost every man who has, by his life work, added to the sum of human achievement, of which the race is proud, of which our people are proud, almost every such man has based his life work largely upon the teachings of the Bible. And that address was given to the Bible Society Record in 1901. President Zachary Taylor stated, "It was for the love of the truth of this great book, the Bible, that our fathers abandoned their native shores for the wilderness. Animated by its lofty principles, they toiled and suffered till the desert blossomed as the rose," Isaiah 35:1. "The Bible is the best of books, and I wish it were in the hands of everyone. It is indispensable to the safety and permanence of our institutions. A free government cannot exist without religion, nor religion without the Bible, especially should the Bible be placed in the hands of the young. It is the best school book in the world. I would that all of our people were brought up under the influence of that holy book." New York Semi-Weekly Tribune, May 9th, 1849. My. One more, then we'll look at the book itself for God's opinion. One of the many influences that have shaped the United States of America into a distinctive nation and people, none may be said to be more fundamental and enduring than the Bible. The Bible and its teachings help form the basis for the founding fathers' abiding belief in the inalienable rights of the individual, rights which they found implicit in God's teachings of the inherent worth and dignity of each individual. President Ronald Reagan in his Proclamation 50:18. Peter, in his second epistle, gave instructions about the Word of God. 2 Peter 1:19-21, it says, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation." Verse 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." God thought Peter, through Peter, gave us this instruction about the Word and how to use it wisely. God brought some very special people, men together, for the founding of this great country. And they too understood the place that the Bible should have in the development of this nation. People, without the Bible, this nation is going to fail. Without the principles found in God's Word, man is going to fail. God has given us His Holy Word. It's a gift. It's a great gift. And I trust that each of you are reading this book every day. Every day. There have been many great men in our past, men who were founders of this nation, who commented about this book. No other book, this book, God's Word. And it was a part of the founding of this country. And if it is not maintained as a part of this, it's being denied. It's being denied by people all over this country. And yet, it is the very basis upon which this country was founded. I want to read a few more. I'm reading quotations from these men, and there are several others that I would like to share with you. Some of the names you will know, some of the names you will not know. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "The Bible contains more knowledge necessary to man in his present state than any other book in the world. By renouncing the Bible, philosophers swing from their moorings upon all moral subjects. It is the only correct map of the human heart that ever has been published. Once the Union had been organized and sworn in, the first task that the U.S. Congress of the United States of America undertook was the publishing of the Bible." Can you believe that? The first task they took was the publishing of the Bible so men could have it, so people could have it, so the general population could have it. This is documented in Letters of Benjamin Rush, January 23rd, 1807. President John Quincy Adams said, "No book in the world deserves to be so unceasingly studied and so profoundly meditated upon as the Bible. The first and almost the only book deserving such universal recognition is the Bible." He is quoted in the American Quarterly Register, June 22nd, 1838. I know that you come to church to hear the Word of God. This morning we're talking about the Word of God and how it has affected this nation and its founders. Most of the men involved in the establishing of this great country believed that the Bible, what the Bible taught, and they incorporated the principles derived from its pages as the principles that this nation would be built upon. That is why I'm quoting so many of them, men you have heard of and men that helped found the greatest nation ever founded. There has not been another nation anywhere that has been as successful as the United States of America. Nor has another nation been so successful as this nation has been. There was a day when this country was the most successful and respected of all the nations of the entire world. But that prominence has passed, and it cannot be recovered unless we return to the principles upon which it was established. I'd like to share with you a few more quotations from some of the men who helped make this country great. Noah Webster, schoolmaster to America, made this statement: "All of the miseries and evils which men suffer from vice, crime, ambition, injustice, oppression, slavery, and war proceed from them despising or neglecting the principles contained in the Bible." He is quoted in the History of the United States, 1832. A man who signed both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States made this statement: "Our all-gracious Creator, preserver and ruler, has been pleased to discover and enforce his laws by a revelation given to us immediately and directly from himself. This revelation is contained in the Holy Scriptures." Statement was made by James Wilson. It's recorded in the works of the Honorable James Wilson, 1804. In our studies of the various books of the Bible, we've learned that Satan can take over a country by taking possession of the one ruling the country. I'm not saying that anyone is demon-possessed, but our nation seems to have abandoned God and any principles that would be tied to the Word of God. Yes, there's still a God, and any principles that we would have come from Him. There's still a remnant within this country that believes in God and tries to follow God's principles as found in His Word. But by far, there is a segment of our government and our society that has abandoned anything to do with God. In our Bible studies, we have seen what happens to the nation that abandons God. We should be expecting the wrath of God to fall upon our nation at any moment. We are not in the place where we started out. And that part of our history is being removed and rewritten by those who would have no relationship with a holy God. We are born again Christians. And as such, we believe that we are told what we are told in the Word of God. I admit that there are some difficult passages, but with a little effort on our part, we can learn about the things of God that he expects from his children. Something has just happened to cause me to become more concerned for our nation than it has taken place before in our history. Our president has abandoned Israel and their need for our support, both physical and spiritual. If anything is going to precipitate the response of God, it's our abandonment of God's chosen people. Let me show you the promise that God made to Abraham. It's recorded in Genesis 12, 3. In Genesis 12, 3. And in that one verse, God made a promise to Abraham. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Does God lie?
No.
Of course not. What did God promise Abraham about his family? That he would bless them that bless them. What has happened in our relationship with Israel, in our government's relationship with Israel, is going to bring God's curse upon our country. Now, God might withhold the curse because of the people who love him who are still in this nation, but I sure wouldn't count on it. What God's people should be doing is contacting their congressmen and sharing this verse out of Genesis with them. Whether they are believers or not, they should fear what God has said. And perhaps they will do what is right. If they are not believers, then they may see what is happening around them and give some thought to what God has promised. This nation is not where it started, and it has drifted a long way from its original mooring. It is time for the people of God, that's us, to get involved and demand that we return to the things that made this nation great. It's not acceptable for us as God's children to sit stoically by and watch this nation that we love abandon the principles given to us in the beginning from the Word of God. Many, many of our founders and men who served after them have quoted favorably portions of the Bible. We should be in contact with our legislators to demand that we maintain our relationship with Israel and provide the material that we promised them. I'm disgusted by the lies told by our president and the lies that his cabinet is attempting to deceive us with. And so I'm getting more involved in emails and letters to various individuals. If you want to contact your representative, I have that information in my office. Just contact me. Folks, we are either going to be a part of the recovery of this nation, and the principles that it was founded upon that made it successful. We're more successful than Rome or Babylon or any of the ancient cultures. God has made us a special place, and he wants to maintain us as a special place. But people are turning their backs on God. They're turning their backs on the truth found in his word. And so we have come to the place, people, where we must intervene. We must let them know what our beliefs are. We can't just sit back and not respond. They think they're doing fine. They're not doing fine at all. And so, people, I believe that God would have us let our legislation know, our legislators know where we stand and what we believe. And like I said, I have here a book that has all the telephone numbers for every governmental official in Washington, D.C. Everyone. Not only their telephone numbers, but their mailing addresses. And I will be glad to give this to you, and you can respond. If they don't hear from you, they think that everything is fine. But people, things are not fine. And so there are other things that we need to do. And part of being a faithful, loyal Christian is to make sure that we elect men who are of the same faith and belief. And that if we cannot elect those men, that we let them know exactly what our feelings are. This is Mother's Day. And I am so glad that it is Mother's Day. All of us have had mothers, okay? And that is good. For the sake of our nation, respond. Respond like God would lead you to. And let your legislator, let your representative know how you feel. And you will be surprised what might happen. They might make some decisions that would favor God. It's a little early, but we're going to go ahead and close. Father, we are so grateful to you for giving us your word. And Father, we are also grateful that men have loved your word, have believed your word, and followed your word. Help us, Father, to bring our nation back to believing and following. Help us to once again put you first. Help us to once again let the world know that this nation is great, this nation is successful because of you, that you are the one who has done all the good things that have been done. And Father, may we be faithful in following the leading of your Holy Spirit as we undertake the task before us. May your will be done in each heart, and we will praise you for all the things you're going to do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brethren's Church.